Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 123, episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, yeah. Production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially, off the top, fuck the Koch brothers and their Koch industries and fuck Fox News. It's Wednesday, March 4th, 2020. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Anna bought a coconut. She brought it to the office just to have a little treat with the cold brew. You put the Zeit in the coconut and drink it all up. You put the Miles in the coconut. He smoke a fat blunt. You put the Jack in the coconut. He throw his hands up and say, Zeit gang. That is courtesy of Keddy Ruxpin. Keddy Ruxpin. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
It's Miles Gray, a.k.a. Bong Dylan, a.k.a. The Weedles, a.k.a. The Rolling Stoners, a.k.a. Janis Potlin, a.k.a. Jefferson Airblaze, a.k.a. Hyman and Garskunkle, a.k.a. Crossweed L's Hash and Blunts, a.k.a. The Doobie Brothers.
Hyman and Garskunkle is so violent.
A.k.a. Parlalit Funkachronic with George Splifton. And the great 420 reference, Dead Heddies.
Yeah. Did it.
Thank you to Hannah Soltis. Shout out to you for providing another just inspired string of AKs.
One of the greats. Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious and talented Holly Laurent.
Welcome.
Woo! Hey, thanks so much. Am I picking up on you guys like cannabis?
I do.
Miles is a cannabis guy.
Jack had to put it down.
I had to put it down, man.
He was getting way too into it.
Liked it too much. Actually, it gave me panic attacks, but I insisted on smoking it because I thought it made me cool. And yeah, so now I don't do anything.
Oh, yeah. See, going to Catholic high school smoking weed made you cool.
Right. You know, like, yeah, no, I know. I insisted on doing it because I was like, I just like the idea of me smoking pot, like me as a guy who can smoke pot, but I never could.
I smoked weed because I love New York rap, and everything was like, okay, so I have to smoke L's forever, smoke blunts forever. And that was a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah. Every rapper I liked talked about smoking weed. I was like, I'm going to do this. and never happened for me.
Hey, you know, some of us are just the chosen.
Yeah,
you know?
Guys, if you smoke weed and you get a panic attack, you don't have to keep doing it. You're cool even without the weed.
See, where were you to tell your younger self?
No, exactly. Holly, are you a fan of the cannabis?
Yeah, she's a good friend of mine.
Yeah, okay, great.
Yeah, Mary, she's lovely.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Love her.
Yeah.
Love her.
Did you? You grew up. We spoke a little bit. You know, you grew up in a fairly religious household.
Yeah.
Were drugs and alcohol just basically demonized in your household?
100%.
Yeah.
The whole like rule of thumb for living was don't drink, don't smoke, don't have sex. That's all. That's all right. You have to do.
Do everything else.
Murder, yeah. Steal,
so,
arson.
You know, so being a teenager, as soon as I was a teenager, I was like, oh, okay, so that's a prescription for exactly what I am going to do.
Oh, okay, so that it had been front-loaded so much, like the stakes, that you're like, okay, the second I have a little bit of autonomy, we're diving right into that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems to work like that, I found out.
But I don't even think like drugs were necessarily that much on my parents' radar or the church. It was more just like cigarettes, alcohol, mm-hmm. sex.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I think
the three big ones
you
got to watch out for.
Yeah. Because there's a very real hell that awaits you that is eternal conscious torment if you do any of those three things.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Unless you have a marriage certificate and only do it with that person you have that license with.
I had to get
a license from the state.
The real gut check I had to really know that I was leaving any kind of notion of Christian guilt or hell behind is when I rolled a joint with the notes paper in the back of the Bible.
Miles, don't even say it.
They're blank, baby, and they're the same thickness as joint paper. Okay,
yeah.
And I was like, bro, we don't have papers. I'm like, yo, bring that Bible real quick.
Is that a sin or an extra? Is it extra sending you to hell
you know
because
what I
it's
thought,
blank?
You know what I thought in my mind? There's no scripture on it.
Right.
So it's just paper.
It's not the word of God necessarily. It's just the page that protects the word of God from the cover, which.
But the funny part was, even though I was like, yeah, I'll do it, I was very scared at the time.
Aww.
I was
man,
this could be fucked up.
See, I think it's respectful that you used a back page and not like one that actually had scripture on it.
Well, I'm not a heathen.
You know? I'm
not a Philistine. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Every time I check into a hotel room, which is a lot, I always just grab the Book of Mormon and the Bible and I draw a ding dong on the first page.
Oh, nice.
It's usually squirting.
Yeah, let them know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and very cool.
And
very
that has like a few pubes on the balls.
Oh, nice.
Are they curly, jagged? What do you do, like spider webs?
Curly,
jagged. Okay. Who's got jagged?
Because some, you know, like
some people crimp the ball hair.
Yeah,
you know, you never know.
Well, thanks to my new kit from Manscaped,
I
can style my ball hair in
ball
all
hair
kinds of
crimping.
Ways.
I
like
awesome.
Your I voted sticker.
Thank you.
Very proud of you.
Yeah, I'm still wearing it from three elections ago.
Doing
was there an election recently?
Yeah.
Oh, I knew
yesterday,
that also.
Miles.
Yeah, and I was so down for that.
All right, let's come clean. We're recording this on Super Tuesday.
Super Two.
Which is the only part of the democratic process that is named by morning zoo DJs. Welcome to Super Tuesday.
Ow.
But yeah, so we don't know the outcome of Super Tuesday yet.
My stomach is not. I woke up to. I'm so freaked out about it right now. I don't know why I can't just relax.
We'll see what happens.
Man. Yeah.
It's all. I think we're already in hell.
Yeah.
In terms of eternal conscious torment.
Once I read a little bit of philosophy where I think it was Alan Watts or someone who was like, who's to say that this is not hell right now?
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck, dude. Well, yes.
Good
place.
But with the idea of like multiverse and all that, it does seem like whatever reality, knowing that like Einstein says reality is like an illusion and there's, you know,
mm-hmm.
whatever we're stuck in right now really feels like this one has jumped the tracks. Like,
yeah.
From like 2016 on for sure.
Yeah. Like, I feel like, within the next day or so, I'm going to see a bizarro version of myself like around town. I'm like, oh, they're converging now, aren't they?
Right.
Right.
Yep.
And isn't it when you see your doppelganger, you are going to die or something?
You either
have to
fight each other or have sex, I think is the rule.
Well, when I saw my doppelganger,
I would love to have sex with myself.
I smoked salvia. That's when my doppelganger appeared.
Oh, wow.
And then a man in the suit told me to go with him. There was a knock on my apartment door. I opened the door. It's a man in the suit and my doppelganger. My doppelganger walked into my apartment and sat down with my friends. And my friends didn't realize that it was not me. And then the man in the suit was like, come with me. And
so
I
wait,
left
are
with
you
him.
The person who came into the apartment and replaced yourself?
No, I was me. I hit the salvia. Then, oh, who's that? Open the door. It's the man in the suit and my doppelganger. Doppelganger walks in, assumes my life, and he basically tagged me out.
Okay.
And then I went with the man in the suit.
Okay.
Where?
And what now, when did you tag back in? Yeah.
So what happened was I then sort of came out of the high, the salvia high, and I was on my knees in another room with two pillows in my hands over like above my head, like fucking Nick Cage in The Rock.
That's incredible.
And then my roommate was like, hey, man, your frozen peas are done.
Your frozen peas?
Yeah, I had basically started microwaving frozen peas before I hit the salvia.
And yeah, you always got to do that. They say that really packs in grounded. The high. Yeah. It really fucks you up.
Well, that shows
you
start
microwaving
that kind
frozen
of scumbag
peas.
Lifestyle then, like where my dinner was frozen peas.
Yeah.
You know, we're all out here doing that.
I'm impressed that you were eating something green.
Yeah,
you were vegetables.
It was sort of the only option in the house, but yeah.
You were by yourself? I don't think you
I was with like three other people.
Well, so what did they say you did those seconds?
Oh, I smoked and then I just calmly got up and went into my room. I wasn't like being like overly vocal or anything or like, ooh, I just got up and I went into my room. But when he went into my room, I was on my knees and I had pillows in my hands.
That's really
But so the question is, are you... you or are you the doppelganger who replaced you?
You like, do this to me every time.
That's
and
the
try
prestige
to fuck with me.
Of it all.
I don't know, Jack.
All right, sorry. Holly, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners, we're going to talk about Quibi. We're going to talk about Biden being the now odds-on favorite to be the nominee. We're going to say peace to the god Chris Matthews. We're going to talk about coronavirus because that's all I can personally read about right now.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about Taco Bell. We're going to talk about Ben Affleck. We're going to talk about March movie preview, February review, all of that and more. But first, Holly, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
My last Google search was late night delivery near me.
Okay.
Where were you? At home?
Yep.
Okay. You don't use any apps or anything?
No.
Wow. Okay.
No. Like Grubhub and all that
stuff? Yeah. Because most people just pull up an app and be like, what can I summon now?
Oh, maybe I should do that.
Yeah. Hey, you know, hey, I don't know how you get down. Maybe you like the process of really...
No, I don't like it, especially because I think I had, you know, a pre-roll and then I was like, and then I checked for a frozen pizza, wasn't one, and then started Googling that. I don't do a lot of the apps and stuff. I just don't like putting my information in. I don't know.
Okay.
But it sounds like maybe I should. What's the best one?
It all depends on where you live and what kind of food you like.
I
don't
in the
advocate
Hollywood Hills.
For one over the other.
Is there one that doesn't fuck up the order like at least 50 to 75% of
the
time?
Yeah. That's because they're not paid enough. And I get it. That's not
fault
of course. Them.
And I'm that's
like,
why I'm just saying.
I take it out on their overlords.
I'm with Holly on that. Like, just go with the traditional ones that can afford to deliver food.
Right.
And just,
sure.
Yeah.
And because the delivery people are tasting your food. Like,
right.
Especially if there's hot smelling, like good aroma food, like French fries.
Yeah.
They're eating your French fries.
Well, that's why a lot of restaurants seal their bags now.
Yeah.
So you'll know.
Really?
Yeah. Because McDonald's. They have like full on staples plus sticker plus like warranty is void if showing kind of like.
That's why I only order food that smells like shit. Yeah. Should be delivered to my house.
And now I like it.
Yeah. What is something you think is overrated?
Overrated. Eating animals?
Okay. You're vegetarian?
No.
Just not worth the effort sometimes.
Love it.
I'm starting to not feel good about the fact that I eat animals.
Mm,
and I think in our lifetime, probably none of us will, right? Because like environmentally, we won't even be able to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like we'll have to.
It won't be available to
quite
us.
Quickly adapt to different.
Are y'all
sort of
vegan
diets.
Or veg?
No.
I'm open. I'll eat it. I eat everything.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah. I might try and start this year adopting the like certain days of the week I'll be vegan or veg.
Yeah, meat free.
Yeah. So I'm considering part-time vegan or veg work.
Well, dip your toe.
The VB6 stuff, that New York Times writer did the thing of like just be vegan before 6 p.m. and then have whatever you want for dinner, which is like, oh, that's great. I can definitely do that because dinner's the best one anyway, if you ask me. I'm not really a breakfast person, but like if
Is that just sort of so proportionately you're cutting down if you just have your rule that your final meal of the day will include
can be whatever, but if you are vegan for breakfast and lunch, then two-thirds of your diet is now plant-based, which is really, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't even eat breakfast, so boom, nailed that one. I just don't. I can't summon the hunger in the morning.
Me either.
Vegans
don't
eat eggs. Yeah. Nope. They don't eat eggs.
No.
No, those are...
See, eggs are very...
Those are the children of chickens.
I know, but
or honey.
Yeah.
Some people will half honey, half not.
Right.
Eggs or are just oysters. So nutritious that I feel like, I don't know. I'll eat a ton of oysters.
I love oysters. So
yeah.
Eat them whole. Since there's no like central nervous system, there are some vegans who allow them. They'll eat oysters.
Just oh, really?
Yeah. Little snot.
Mm-hmm. They're little like just, you know,
ocean
sea
snot.
Filters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'll eat snot too.
What is something you think is underrated?
Clotheslines. Clotheslines. How do you say that word? Clotheslines.
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 But they're you want to honor the TH in it.
Clotheslines.
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 Because would you say, hey, pick up your clothes? You say your clothes.
Your clothes. We say it like
right. You say clothing.
You get clotheslined.
Yeah.
Wait, is that a different?
Clotheslines.
No, that's the whole thing. Because if you ran without looking, you would have got necked up by a clothesline.
I love a clothesline. I love when I see clothes and washcloths hanging from a clothesline
in the breeze.
I think it's the coolest thing.
Yeah, energy just for efficient. Our cinematographers, just hang your clothes on clotheslines. It's a beautiful thing to have.
Right?
Just, yeah,
and
it's a great
thing. We also have to help people who are like on the run and need to change identities. Usually be like, oh, what's this shit hanging? I don't know. Make an outfit out of this.
Suddenly they're wearing a different outfit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They help in chase scenes. Little stakes.
Exactly.
I mean,
like a clothesline.
Do you have one set up in your abode?
Nah.
No. But you sort of like long for the days of the clothesline?
I love, you know, when you're on a train, I love trains, not trains in a city, but trains like, you know, going across.
Traveling between cities.
Yeah.
I love that.
Like an Amtrak train.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're just on one.
I love Amtrak trains and things like that because usually you're seeing a lot of backyards. You're going through in between towns. And like, I love to look into backyards and I love just when
go
I.
Go on.
I
just
do
love looking at people's yards, you know.
Yeah.
I even love, it's funny, when I walk my dog kind of at dusk at night, I love looking in people's windows. I love when the like lights start to come on and the hills get all twinkly and you're like, what are people
they
doing
start
in
changing
there?
Clothes and
clothes.
And when people stand naked in front of windows and I just stand
I
transfixed in the street. Yeah.
Hell yeah, man.
No,
have
but
a good night.
There's something about trains. I don't know why. It just seems like they cut across like random parts of the landscape, whereas like highways are just completely protected. Walled off sound walls. But like trains, you feel like you're seeing a part of the country that you wouldn't see it, just like a straight line that was cut through a random
Although
portion.
Going down that Atlantic corridor.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of, I feel like we didn't go through many backyards.
No, not backyards. There's a lot of like old buildings. So maybe that's what it is. It's just like, but I find looking out the window while on a train much more interesting than looking out the window while
driving. I'm starting to, I think I'm going to put a clothesline into my backyard.
Do it. You have a backyard?
Yeah.
That's so great.
Well, I have concrete. Outside of the back of my house. There's not much. It's hard to call that a yard. But I am like actually getting, I like to hang dry my clothes because growing up when my dryer broke, my mom just said, we're not fixing it.
Yeah.
So we just always line dried our clothes because in Japan you do that anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
And I realized too, like dryers can fucking fuck your clothes up.
Oh,
if you're not careful with that shit.
Absolutely.
And I sometimes absentmindedly or high will do laundry and then I shrink the fuck out of something.
Yeah.
And then it becomes Her Majesty's new outfit.
Right.
But then don't you think that sometimes when you hang it dry in your inside, I'm not sure, I don't think outside, but they're a little more stiff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. 100.
And something about the sun, though. The sun also, the UV is also, you know, giving it a little
desanitizing.
Yeah. If it's blowing, then maybe it gets less stiff.
But to be honest, I think in this town, I think, like, well, the air's not clean. It's going to, like, I'm going to put the clothes on and they're going to be, like, full of, like, pollution.
Your white shirt is just gray now.
I know. Man, I just took the train in L.A. for the first time ever and was really surprised that there were a lot of people on it.
The Metro or the Expo line? Which one?
I went from Hollywood and Vine to downtown.
Oh, yeah.
That one? And it was crazy because I was standing at the kiosk trying to pay. I did pay.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was looking, all these kids are like jumping over the turnstiles and stuff and just jumping on. And
yeah.
I was like, oh man, look at these crazy kids jumping the turnstiles.
Look at these
skimps. Hey, you and get then, back here, skimp.
And then when I tried to use my thing that I did pay for the ride, it wouldn't work. And I ended up jumping the turnstile.
Hey, exactly.
I felt so cool. I felt so cool.
You are cool.
Thank you.
Finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false? Or vice versa?
That our menstrual cycles aren't synced up with the moon. I thought that for a really long time.
That they are not.
That they are, that females are synced up with the moon. Or because it's 28 days. Like females go on 28 days and the moon goes 28 days.
Mm-hmm.
And the tides and all that stuff. I thought it was all together, but it's not. And I was really sad to learn that. That is a
myth.
There's
something magical about that.
So what's a blood moon?
Ooh, it's when the rays of the sun are trapped in the Earth's atmosphere and they're bending, and so it's making it a colored light hitting the moon rather than a white light.
Mm. Okay, so it's not from the Book of Revelation.
It's not that somebody got their period all over the moon, I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah. All right, good. I just wanted to clear that up real quick, because that's not what I thought at all. So.
I just did learn that though, the moon and the menstruation is that and I was really sad because I kind of thought it was cool that females had some connection to the moon. And but Sasha Sagan, Carl Sagan's daughter,
was the one who
debunked the myth.
So
that's a source of information.
And I was like, Sasha, you're hurting my feelings. And she was like,
Damn you, Sasha Sagan.
Yeah.
And then she told me not to have crystals and all the pseudoscience stuff that people love in Southern California. She was like, pseudoscience is actually like not okay. And I was like, well.
Oh, I was just going to say that it is crystals that controls your menstrual cycle. Is that not right?
That's definitely the only way you get your period is if you put a crystal up there.
Thank you.
All right. Finally.
The truth comes out here.
The moon isn't powerful enough to control your menstrual cycle, but your roommate is powerful enough, right?
Yeah, girls,
that's true.
Yeah, girls do sync up. Yeah, that's true.
I think that's the most wild thing. Yeah.
Is the origin of the moon thing, like, it must come from just some angry dude, right?
Yeah.
It was like, full moon or whatever, like, or was that an early...
Yeah, they think that we're werewolves on our
periods. It seems like a thing where a man would just be like, it's probably tied to the moon or some shit, you know what I mean? And then that catches on.
Because we're acting like lunatics, and it's
lunar ticks.
That's right.
Well, let's talk about Quibi while we're on that subject. Not at all.
Menstrual cycles?
So Quibi is coming, y'all.
April.
I hope everyone's ready. So this is something that probably hasn't been that visible to people outside of Los Angeles, but has been a constant hum in the background of the entertainment industry for the past couple of years. This new platform called Quibi that is employing all your friends.
Yeah, and for many people working in the entertainment industry, you almost be like, did you get a call from Quibi or not?
Right.
No? Oh, all right. Damn, dude. How did I get that Quibi call?
Right. I think we are two of the last people in the entertainment industry who don't have a Quibi project, at least in development.
I do not have. Someone approached me, full disclosure.
Okay.
And I said... yeah, let's talk later.
to do what?
To host something.
Oh.
But the project didn't appeal to me.
At a small quibble.
Yeah. I said, I'm only talking Taco Bell, okay?
Yeah.
If it's not it, then we don't have a deal. But so the show or the whole platform is launching in April. They've spent, I think, over $1 billion on content.
Yeah.
And if you look at the people, like they have people like Kevin Hart, Trevor Noah, Eric on. People have so many things they're either in or developing. You can burn through $1 billion pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Recently, the latest thing that was announced was Usher now has his newest show called The Sauce.
Mm.
It's a new dance series where I guess basically people just go head to head. I think it's like, you know, America's Best Dance Crew type show. But it's hosted by AO and TO, who, if you remember, they want a roly, roly, roly with a cider ranch.
I don't.
Nope. Remember that one? Oh, man. You don't remember that Instagram dance craze? Anyway, they're very popular Instagram dancers who wear masks and shit. So that'll be that new show. But there's a few other ones that I just wanted to point out because some are interesting, like Rapper Ninja Warrior, which comes from the Eric Andre show, where hip-hop stars must navigate an obstacle course while freestyling.
So it is hip-hop stars. Like Nas will be out there trying to go through a double dare course?
Possibly.
While freestyling?
In an ideal world, yes, you would see Nas and maybe Wyclef.
Right. Okay.
But then there's other ones like
End times.
Well, allow me to introduce this next show, Barkitecture. Okay, from Bachelorette alum Tyler Cameron and interior designer Delia Kenza. Basically, this show is a design show where they'll help rich dog lovers build extravagant custom dog houses for their beloved canines.
I mean, I'm kind of on board for
I'm
this.
Back in.
I am, and then I'm sort of like, damn you, Quibi. Because like on the surface, I'm like, that's not an idea I'm going to watch
so here's
it on the toilet.
Thing. Like The Sauce, The Usher Show, mm-hmm. that could easily be a TV show. I mean, the TBS has a game show that is based on Hot Ones, like the Wing Hotness Challenge. So, like, an Usher dance contest show sounds like it's at least capable of sustaining a season of television. I think the thing that's unique about Quibi is the ability to do things that are very dumb and won't sustain a whole season, but are going to be entertaining for 5 minutes while you're waiting for your Uber to arrive.
Got it.
And Barkitecture, also rapper Warrior Ninja, as hosted by Eric Andre.
I don't know if he's going to host it.
Okay, well,
but
then
it just
I'm
came
out.
From his show. Yeah.
Okay. That just seems like a cruel prank to play on someone.
So is it an app or is it going to be like Netflix?
It's an app. It's like Netflix. You're going to have the app, open it to watch content on there, probably
in
subscribe.
So you would watch it on your phone or on like Apple TV?
Yes.
And it's going to be like $5 a month or something?
I think that's probably
I don't know
right.
what. I think if you're like Verizon, you're going to get it for, I think it's tiered also. They have like ad versions, ad supported versions, premium versions. Either way, they want a little bit of your money.
And then we're all going to start sharing our passwords with each other.
Exactly.
And, right.
And we're going to be Quibi criminals.
One person is going to subscribe and the rest of us will.
There's another one. Okay. Centerpiece from executive producer Rashida Jones. Famous celebrity guests create a floral centerpiece. That's the show.
Yeah. I mean,
again, I feel like what they've done is they've turned a YouTube clip into a show, quote unquote.
Right.
Because I don't know what the intersection of floral enthusiasts and whoever these celebrity guests are going to be are.
Yeah.
But it's something. But I guess the reality unscripted shows make sense for Quibi because it's like short, like Barkitecture, like it
Barkitecture
would be something.
Is a surefire winner.
Dude, Barkitecture is the fucking, I don't even know where
it's
to
a
put
home
that.
Run.
It's a fucking slam dunkaroo.
Slam dunk.
But then it's like when you get into the scripted shit, that's where I'm like, I don't know about that. See, Barkitecture, I can just be like, yeah, okay, great. What an extravagant dog home.
Right.
But like these other ones that are like the Kevin Hart Die Hard thing where he's like trying to get into a Die Hard film. It's like very high budget. John Travolta like makes cameos in it. It's weird. I'm not sure what like that content where that people like what the appetite is for that content.
That is a whole nother like genre slash medium of content that we don't have that they just like spent billions of dollars producing without an audience, which seems very, I'll say, ballsy. It seems like they, and I don't know if it was a bad idea or not. I just, my experience with things like this that are like platforms where people are like, everyone's going to be watching content on milk.
Yeah.
And then it comes out and nobody watches it.
Who is that? Samsung?
Samsung.
Yeah.
Yeah. We.
Oh boy.
Drink your milk.
Yeah. I was drinking my milk back in the day, but nobody watched anything that was made for milk. And I don't know. Quibi seems different because they can afford Super Bowl commercials. So we will see. But
it's funny that in a town that has so many people without homes that all these dogs are going to have these beautiful homes.
Yeah, the irony, right? Yeah. And then like Meg Whitman is one of the people behind it. You know, she used to be the CEO of like Hewlett Packard. She also ran for governor in California like as a Republican and was like had one of the worst campaigns. Just she's teaming up with little Jeff Katzenberg to bring the industry down.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I want to see this other show with Nicole Richie called Nikki Fresh with a dollar sign. This description, Nicole Richie will star in this comedy series as her alter ego, Nikki Fresh, a rapper who brings a new flair to wellness with her brand of educational and socially conscious rap known as Parent Trap.
Wow.
I like the description more than I think I'm going to like the show.
Right.
I just saw her last Wednesday. She's so pretty.
Oh, yeah. I loved
it. She's so pretty.
She was so good on that news. What was the good news?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she was great on that.
Is that good? I never
watched it. Oh, yeah.
It is really good.
It's really good.
It's like 30 Rock Light.
Oh, cool.
30 Rock-ish.
If you like the pace, like the furious joke pace of 30 Rock, you'll like Good News.
I have to watch that Good one. My friend Brad Morris is in it.
It's great.
Well, don't tell Brad.
I know. Sorry, Brad.
That's like, you love it, right?
Underrated.
You're like, yeah, I love it.
That's your underrated?
Yeah,
okay.
Totally. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.
And we're back. And like we said, we are recording this before we know the results of Super Tuesday, before they've even started to roll in. One thing that we could talk about really briefly is that heading into Super Tuesday, Biden is now the odds-on favorite.
Oh, hell yeah.
To be the nominee.
Oh, hell yeah.
He is, according to 538, 3 in 10 chance of winning enough delegates to have a majority before the convention. But then the other most likely thing is that no one has a majority. And
Mike Bloomberg steals it.
Well, I think that would they would just go with Biden, right? If he's like even close to first. Like, yeah, he's such an acceptable middle of the road.
They need a moderate and someone who can both sides racism.
Yeah.
And then you can be president.
Yeah.
You know, I think those are sort of the qualifications at the moment. I mean, and Bloomberg has come out outright basically saying, like, you know, this, as he says, quote, you don't have to win states. You have to win delegates. Mm-hmm. And when he was asked about a contested convention, he says, I don't think that I can win any other way.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. I mean, he's definitely doing a lot behind the scenes. But yeah, I have a feeling if they have Biden with enough votes, they're going to be all in for.
Yes. I think he's probably going to have enough votes. It seems like, you know, after Like, Sanders' Nevada win hurt his momentum somehow in the media, and then Biden's South Carolina win just propelled him to new heights.
It's not that it hurt him. It's that the media has to coalesce around stopping someone who is an existential threat to the billionaire class.
But I also think it's the like his polling immediately took a hit, which you can partially point to the media's reaction. I do feel like more and more I'm starting to feel like there is, you know, something just inherent in Americans' DNA that scares them when they hear the word socialist, and they were waiting to find a candidate who wasn't a socialist who they could kind of coalesce around. And Biden, once Biden became like a singular name that they felt like could win, they all sort of lined up. I think it's a combination of, you know, media bias and then Americans' bias.
Or just lack of sort of understanding or education around it, because I think people's knee-jerk reaction is like, we all got to wear the same outfits suddenly and like live in like drab, like brutalist architecture housing.
Right.
And it's, you know, a lot of people were saying like, there's like a tweet that was like, you know how your parents called every video game system Nintendo?
Yeah.
It's like, that's what they do with socialism.
Yes.
Like if it's like outside of like whatever the mainstream political ideology is, that's just socialism.
Yeah. And I mean, this happened when Roosevelt tried to pass the New Deal in the first place. I mean, he did pass it because he happened to have enough power to do it, but they called that socialist and claimed everybody was going to have to wear the same outfits and all that shit.
But everything in the future, when we see movies and stuff from the future, we're all wearing the same thing in the future. So it's inevitable.
Accept your fate, people.
Which version of a dystopian future from film would you want to live in?
A dystopian future from film?
That's like realistic. Don't do Waterworld, you know?
Wait, why is Waterworld
actually, Waterworld's
realistic?
Very realistic.
The most realistic.
Now that we think like, about it,
I think the Escape from L.A. one is pretty fun because there's weird, like, things
that
are...
Oh, so the sequel to Escape from New York. Yeah. You're thinking, okay.
Escape from New York is just, like, mean. They're like, everybody go there and die.
Right.
But Escape from L.A., like, there's, like, giant waves that, like, go up rivers
Do you
shit.
Remember? Because also, the L.A. was so sinful that it broke off from California,
right.
And it became this, like, just... hellscape.
I like any dystopian future where I can surf to work, bro.
Oh.
Also, I have to learn how to surf, but I'm going to do it.
Important dystopian nightmare skills. What about you, Holly?
Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, want to get the fuck out of Earth. Okay, I like that.
I like that one a lot. Of like, who's a Cylon? What are they called?
Mm-hmm. I think that's right.
I like that one.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, great. So we figured that
out. What's your pick? Waterworld?
Waterworld.
Okay.
Love a jet ski.
You went from you're not allowed to pick Waterworld to that's my pick?
Well, I didn't want you to pick mine.
Okay.
Because, you know, I like to drink my own pee.
Jet ski gangs, one way or another, I want to be involved with them, whether it's just a Zeit gang forming one and inviting me to join or some
a proper
disastrous
jet ski
future.
Gang would be really fun.
Dope as fuck.
Yeah.
And you would have those fit or what are
the gills.
Gills.
Yeah.
You'd look good with gills.
Thank you so much.
You bet.
Well, speaking of what we were talking about a couple minutes ago.
Oh, yeah. What's
with
happening?
The mainstream media freaking out. Chris Matthews, the wispy haired screamer on MSNBC. So he had a couple meltdowns during Bernie's surge. Around Nevada and was saying that he used to be afraid that socialists would take him into Central Park and murder him. And
execute him, Jack. Execute him.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. And like people started being like, wait, why is Chris Matthews on TV anyways?
Talking. Then he did another Nazi comparison with the Maginot line.
Then he would start calling people the wrong name and like just seemed increasingly out of it. And then things started coming out that he was basically verbally abusive to
sexually harassing people, like saying like a guest had come on recently and he was like, why aren't I in love with you yet? And then like telling the makeup artist, like, put on more makeup. Yeah. Oh, now I'm going to fall in love with her. Saying shit like that. Ew. Other people were just sort of like, he was like, when he went on his show, he was like, look, I had a talk with MSNBC. It seems like it might be time for me to retire.
Right.
He's like, I was making compliments that I realize are were inappropriate then and inappropriate now.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing, too, that we didn't have time to cover was when Elizabeth Warren, after one of the debates, basically put Mike Bloomberg to the sword when like bringing up his record on how he talks to women. And just remember, this was another moment, too, where Chris Matthews absolutely shat the bed to show people that he's, like, I don't know, with the times. Mm. This is an exchange where he's basically pressing Elizabeth Warren on why she would believe a woman.
Do you believe that the former mayor of New York said that to a pregnant employee?
Well, a pregnant employee sure said that he did. Why shouldn't I believe her? You know, I'm just really tired of this world. This one is personal for me. It really is.
But you believe that he's that kind of person who did that.
Look, pregnancy discrimination is real. And we have gone on and on and on where people say, oh, I can't really believe the woman. Really? Why not? Yeah. Mayor Bloomberg has non-disclosure agreements for who knows how many women. And it's not just the one. The whole point is, how can you actually trust someone who will not just say, look, I'm going to waive on non-disclosure on sexual harassment and discrimination. Yeah. Anybody who has a story to tell can come tell
Sure, I agree
story.
With everybody deserves a credible response when they make a charge like that. My question about him, you believe he's lying?
I believe the woman.
You believe he's lying?
Which means he's not telling the truth.
And why would he lie? Because just to protect himself.
What?
Yeah. And why would she lie? I mean, that's the question, Chris. Why do you assume
it's a striking
that
event,
he's the guy?
I just want to make sure you're clear about this. You're confident of your accusation.
Look, what?
All I know is what she said and what he said.
Wow.
And I've been on her end of it in the sense of discrimination based on pregnancy.
And I've been on his
all
edge.
Across this country.
All right, so let me get this straight. Why you think he's going to lie to what? Like protect himself? Yeah, exactly. Exactly that, Chris Matthews.
That's the definition of lying for every single lie.
Right. No one lies to make their situation worse.
Mm. That was wild.
Yeah, so again, there have been people like, especially after that, people are like, what is going on? Like, we're moving in the direction of, we're not being like, well, that's a heavy accusation, lady. Like, what are you talking about here?
Yeah.
And again, he has been he's been a little bit slow to move in the direction where the rest of society is moving. And I think it was a lot of people at the network were sort of screaming like a cancel culture kind of things like that. Like on Morning Joe, one of the contributors there was like, it's a disturbing decision because some people like, and then Twitter gets noisy that someone like this has to step down.
Oh, they were saying that it's disturbing that he decided to retire.
To retire because cancel culture.
Uh-huh.
And look, however they handled it, like, that's on them. But, I mean, it's clear to me that his voice was one that was not keeping up with the times anymore.
Was he always that way? Or did the success of a socialist candidate in one state, like, jar something loose?
No, he's just been...
He's just
like that. And I think it took a combination of things to change around him to sort of underline sort of how fixed he was. And then even Meghan McCain was like, you know, she said, he's like 75. He's I like that their quote is, he's like 75. He's a lion of cable news. She's like, I grew up watching him. And then I love him. And then she said, and to reduce his entire career to this segment yesterday made me really sad because I thought he deserved a better send off than that.
Mm.
And then there are other people like, you know, like Joey Behar was like, yeah, dude, this is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, as many people, I think Whoopi Goldberg, you know, she was sort of caping for him and saying like, you know, it was a different time or whatever. And then Joey Behar was saying, yeah, but there are plenty of men who weren't doing this even back then in the times of Mad Men.
Right.
You know, so there's not like that doesn't excuse these kinds of things, especially when we're trying to tell people, you know, there's a forward direction to move in.
Yeah.
It sounds like he could be president. Every single quality you're describing are current presidential qualities.
Yeah. Right? Suspicious of women, you know, socialists. This sounds
not making sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it does seem like a lot of times on the left, like the left tries to maintain standards. And those are the exact qualities that are just like 100% protected on the right.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
And
even on the left, too, because, you know, Meghan McCain did make a point. She's like, you know, what about the other people at NBC, though, too? Like, they're people who are like killing stories about, you know, like Ronan Farrow's investigations and things like that. That actually has to, there needs to be a reckoning with that shit too.
Yes.
Which is a valid point. But I guess, like sometimes it's easier to be selective than sort of apply a standard, or at least saying like, okay, are you ready to grow? If not, then you can sit on the sidelines for a second.
Man, Ronan Farrow.
Yeah.
Going to college at age 11.
Did he really do that?
Yeah.
That's wild.
Went to Bard, I think, at age 11, and then he like graduated from Yale Law School like before he was like 20 or something.
What a dick.
What a dick. All right, what are you trying to prove, bro? All right, yeah, maybe I left with my doppelganger in college. That's what I'm blaming.
So I forgot my peas in the microwave.
Oh, I'm the friggin' bad guy now. All right.
So let's check in with coronavirus. It seems like the consensus right now is that it's about to pop, basically. It's about to...
Yeah.
Like there's, I mean,
it's mostly because we haven't been verifying whether or not people have the illness.
Right.
So now with these test kits rolling out, I mean, they think they're going to get to 1 million test kits this week. A lot of people are like, nah, I don't think there's going to be that many. But testing has been very hard to come by. Like there are even people who are health professionals themselves who are like, I'm having trouble getting a proper diagnosis. Once, you know, you even begin to test people, inevitably the sort of infection rate is going to start going up. Oof. But not to say that it's suddenly going up in this time. It's just that now they're able to just identify people and they have the data that's necessary to figure out all
these
things.
There's an inflection point in China, I think a few weeks back, where it had more to do with like getting more tests and how they were diagnosing.
Which either way, it's terrifying anyway, because then you're like, oh, okay, so 1,000 people didn't know they were sick and were walking around.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the situation we're in right now. It's out there already in like pretty much most American populations. It's going to be very soon. There was this email forward that got sent around that is one of the rare email forwards that was fact checked and actually true from a pathologist who did his training at the University of California, San Diego, and was one of the first molecular virologists in the world to work on coronavirus in the 70s. And he basically said, you know, by mid to late March and April, he thinks it's going to be widespread in the U.S. It's important to understand that, like, it is in a lot of places. It's just we're testing populations more and finding out where it actually is, as opposed to like, I don't know. It seems like people are a little confused about how widespread it is.
It spreads. I mean, the thing that I think is really alarming is that if you just went off of kind of passively looking at headlines or the news, there isn't a lot of education if you're not seeking it out around transmission, around what is risky, what you should do or should not do. Most I feel like the take from the media is, yeah, man, coronavirus is around.
Right.
And it's over here and it's over there. Yeah. And wash your hands.
So this guy's email forward, for lack of a better way of putting it, kind of described how the virus gets from inside of a sick person's body to the outside of their body and then to the inside of your body. And it's all about touching things that have the virus on it and then touching your mouth or nose. That is how you get it. It's not from someone coughing or sneezing near you unless they cough directly into your mouth or nose.
Or you get those droplets on you that you then interact with.
You then put them in your nose or mouth. Like, it has to go into your nose or mouth some way. That's the only way to get infected. But this is a misconception that we've talked about with air travel on this show before, that I always assumed that I was getting sick every time I flew because the air was bad or other sick people were in the plane. And it's because of all the germs on the seat and the seat back in front of you. Touch screen. Everything you're touching hasn't been cleaned and has been touched by a lot of other people. Just imagine if you want to be cautious about the coronavirus, just imagine that everything around you is
lava,
is an airplane seat.
Right.
The stuff he's suggesting is the sort of thing that 2 weeks ago I would have been like, that's pretty extreme. But it fully drives home how much it's exclusively about touching things and touching your face. Like he points out that the mask isn't there to protect you from inhaling other people's sneezes, unless, you know, that's what you're into.
Yeah.
It's there because it keeps you from touching your own mouth and nose.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's, you have to like,
it's like
move
da-da.
It aside yeah. To itch your mouth or nose. It's almost like it. Yeah, I don't know.
Which humans on average touch their eyes, touch their face like 2 dozen times an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. 40, oh, 90 44 times a day.
Yeah.
I think I just need to put broken glass all over my hands. Because if I can't, because masks are, you don't know where the fuck you get them anymore.
That's one of the things he recommends is blood sport.
Dip your hands in glass.
Dip your hands in glass.
You'll be real quick to scratch your eye then, won't you?
Yeah.
In which case, rubber gloves, I think, would be...
He does recommend rubber gloves, disposable surgical masks if you can get them.
If you can get them, Jesus.
But hand sanitizer that has an alcohol basis greater than 60% alcohol. And zinc lozenges, which was the one thing that was kind of news to me. He says that zinc lozenges are actually... If you have them, like if you dissolve them a couple times a day in the back of your throat, it prevents the reproduction of the virus.
But even then, it wasn't like, this is where I think the fact checking on this part of the letter was a little bit contested.
Right.
Because this guy wrote it like just for his family and close friends. And then people took this to be like, this doctor is telling you all the things you need. He's like, no.
Right.
He's like, even the reason I even say zinc lozenges was just about blocking the virus from multiplying in your throat. I'm not saying that's how you're going to stop it. It's just a thing you might want, if you have the ability to do.
I was still glad to learn that, at least that's a thing. Because it's like one of those things that I thought was more people who were being overly paranoid or thought they knew something that doctors didn't. And the fact that I just didn't know that zinc prevented the reproduction of viruses in your throat. So
it's funny though. I mean, you mentioned like 2 weeks ago, I would have felt this way last week. You know, I think we've all been like watching it. Like, what is this going to be? Is this going to be one of those things? It's going to be like SARS. It'll stay small. It'll be, you know, oh wow, it's not going to be contained. Oh, it's going to grow. It's going, oh, well, okay, let's watch and wait and all that. But like already, like when I came in here today, none of us touched each other.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
it's already happening that we kind of joked and touched elbow to elbow, but like, last night I was at Largo and came up to the woman working the door and was like, hi, and gave her a hug. And a woman came over to us. This is the first time it's ever happened to me. A woman came over and was like, don't hug.
Wow.
And like now that strangers are already saying like, we have to stop touching. We have to stop touching. And that's going to be a thing.
Yeah. He recommends fist bumps or just as something that's cool to do.
Yeah.
No, he says fist bumps or elbow bumps or a curt bow.
I've always liked the Japanese kind of
the bow.
It's so much more sanitary.
Yeah. I haven't hugged my mom in ages. They just bow.
But yeah, essentially another thing that is debunking a myth that the president is actually spreading. He says there's unbelievable molecular knowledge about the genomic structure and virulence.
He said that word?
Of this virus. No, this is from the doctor.
Oh.
Of this virus has already been achieved, but there will be no drugs or vaccines available this year to protect us or limit the infection within us. Only symptomatic support is available. So Trump keeps being like, oh, it's not going to spread because we're going to get a vaccine quickly. And it's not,
but
that's
yeah, like,
not going to stop it.
Because then you'd have to do a secondary testing to find the people who may have antibodies.
Right.
And then you have to even know what's going on with the illness to then begin to identify people with antibodies. Like it's just too far down the road in the process.
I think the hope is that they can get one by fall because it's going to fall away for the summertime, and then it's going to come back like a monster in the fall.
I just thought about fucking Coachella.
Wow, that really bummed you out, man.
Bro. Damn it.
Yeah, well, because you go to Coachella every year.
Dude, both weekends, you know what time it
is. Everybody you see there with an open mouth kiss.
With an open mouth kiss. Yeah. I do free CPR classes, no dummies. It's all good.
But yeah, there's also a Reddit thread that I found some interesting things in. One is just like the different symptoms of coronavirus, this version of coronavirus. Fever, 88%, dry cough, 68%, exhaustion, 38%. And then it gets down to like coughing 33, but then running nose is not a symptom of COVID-19, which
great.
I didn't realize that. Good to know. Also, it's basically the older you are, the more susceptible you are. Like
right.
Usually babies and infants are more
kids
susceptible,
are safe.
But kids are not getting this for, they don't know why. They're just like based on their studies of who has gotten it and who's been sick.
The cynical version on Fox would be like, look, the libs are trying to kill all the boomers with this, with the coronavirus.
Right. I mean,
they might be right. But it's like 30 years old and up, really, is all the cases.
Right.
Right.
There's a YA novel that I read in, I think it was elementary school, fifth grade, that was all about like a virus that comes through and wipes out everyone over a certain age. I think it was age 18. So it was only like children left on Earth. But maybe that's where we're headed. I don't know. We'll see. Probably not. They also said that they're looking at like the number of hospital beds per 1,000 people in different developed countries. And so Japan is number one with 13 hospital beds per 1,000 people. South Korea is two with 12. Russia, three with 8 hospital beds per 1,000 person. And then the United States is 32nd.
We're 32.
With two hospital beds.
Wow.
Per thousand people.
Wow.
Hey, take care of your own.
This is going to expose some like infrastructure problems like that.
It already is, even with the lack of public health support that we have, where like everyone's like, guys, we were telling you when these budgets were getting slashed 2 years ago that this was going to be a fucking problem, cut to right now where we
right.
are like,
right. And everyone being like, I want to keep my employer health care. Fuck people who don't have it or whatever. Now it's
right.
like, oh, wait.
Yeah.
That's like a 27 million person like virus bomb waiting to go off, too. Like, and also, right. again, we said this even in the beginning. How many people, we've been talking like, first, there were articles about Uber drivers and how they were being like mad racist, not picking up Asian people, being like, I don't know about this. But then also, like, if you're working, like, some people who have a job who is like purely based on when you clock in and clock out, you have to take 2 weeks off, 3 weeks off, however many weeks off to quarantine yourself. Then what do you, like your expenses immediately pile up.
Right.
And yeah. there's no.
Yeah.
It's going to lay bare a lot of things. I hope it doesn't. But with the way it seems, I honestly can only just hope for the best.
My brother-in-law is a physical scientist and he at Notre Dame, and he sent a Scientific American article to me yesterday that I read. And I was like, Scientific American is like, that's a good source. And it was a very measured article. But basically it was saying like our social responsibility, civil responsibility is to prepare. And it was talking about like very seriously saying, get your 2 to 3 weeks ready for quarantine. Like
right.
have the, you know, shelf items, the canned vegetables, the bags of rice and the beans and even potable water. And I was like, man, this is starting to feel weird. And then when I started picturing like, what if we really do have 2 to 3 weeks or 4 weeks of all of us are quarantined to our homes? Like nobody goes out. Will that be policed? How will that be? Mm-hmm. You know, like
in China, there.
Do you walk your dog?
Yeah.
In
China, government officials are interviewing people who have had it to try and like trace everything about like how they got it, where they got it from, to just quarantine people. It's pretty. I don't think government officials in the United States would be able to get that aggressive.
Hell no, and especially now when Coachella's going on, bro. trying to fucking stop
But
me.
When I try to picture it, another thing the Scientific American was saying is like, have a lot of books and things for you to do.
Yeah.
Like in your home, it's not just the food and water. Like have books and stuff. And when you really picture it, like this will be unlike, if this happens, this will be unlike anything we've ever experienced in our life. Like,
well, I think unless you like maybe live in a region of the country where like the weather keeps you indoors for a long time, like you might be mentally slightly more prepared. But I think for other people who used to be out and about and doing shit, it'll be a very like.
But those places like
most people don't have
nightly
books.
Orgies. Like we were up in Minneapolis. We met those people.
Yeah.
We know how they are.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Slytherin House is what they called it.
Yeah. And another thing is just the Korean people I know are scared of wearing masks at work, even though they should be, because they're like, yeah, but our white colleagues can wear masks at work because, you know, nobody suspects them. But if we wear masks at work, then we get in trouble. Or I did people tell, assume that you have the disease.
Yeah, a lot of Asian friends of mine who, you know, this is sort of part of Asian culture is to consider other people before yourself. And it's weird to see that manifest in the form of playing into people's racism.
Right.
Of saying like, well, I don't want to go because I don't want people to think that like maybe I have it and then they're going to get treat me weird. This is one of my friends who volunteers like at a hospital.
Right.
I'm like, you are healthy. You know you are not sick. So you are not a risk. And like at that point, you are actually taking your time to help other people. So like you don't need to have your life dictated by others, someone else's ignorance or perception of you.
Right.
But it was like a frustrating thing to think about too, where it's like, damn, like there's also a cultural element to being like, well, I don't want to like bug people out because you know, ignorance.
Right. But that's how,
but yeah, that's
like the ignorance is real. And like,
yeah, absolutely.
You know,
it's fucked
something
up.
that they have to deal with in a very real way.
I mean,
people aren't
buying Corona beer, speaking of ignorance.
Well, we had to blow that theory up yesterday.
Yeah, that's actually a myth. Okay.
It came out from a PR company that was like repping other brands.
Oh, that's
was
a like, myth?
Yeah.
But it was in the headlines.
I know. Yeah.
All and these lies.
These fuckers. It was very misleading, this whole study that they did.
But people aren't going to Chinese restaurants and stuff, right? Or is
that
a myth too?
I don't know. True. I think that's probably... That, you know, if it's actually racist, it's more believable.
Right. Right.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotika.
And we're back. Let's do some fast food updates.
All right, dude. Taco Bell
coming through.
They're making it easy for us to be vegetarians. Okay. Yeah. Shout out to everybody who were exchanging Taco Bell hacks on Twitter. You know, please come to my Twitter. It's an idea exchange for ways to order things at Taco Bell. But from March 12th, shout out to Mike and Chris, that's their birthday, customers ordering from like a kiosk can now filter vegetarian items with a feature called Veggie Mode. Okay, so once you hit this button on the menu, it will now be like, here are 50 items that are certified by the American Vegetarian Association.
Oh, that's dope.
That you can, that are just immediately available. Oh. So if you're feeling a little healthier, you don't want to eat that quote unquote meat that they have there.
Right.
Hit up the veggies. Mm. I just like that it's, we're getting there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To the point where people used to have to know the little secrets. Now it's like, yeah, man, you want Veggie Mode? Go on Veggie Mode. That's I will still eat the Mexi Melt.
Mm. Oh, but it's not on the menu all the time, so, but you can still order it.
There's a hack. Okay. Oh. You get a cheesy roll up, add beef, add pico, and you now have a Mexi Melt.
Straight up.
Thank you.
Let's talk about Ben Affleck. He's got a movie coming out, All the Way Back or The Way Back or some shit. That's a basketball movie that I predict will not do that well. It seems like every advertisement I've seen for it just doesn't seem like it.
Understands basketball,
understands why people go see movies. It just feels like they're going in hard on a movie that...
Wait, what's the movie about?
It's like he has a vaguely troubled past, and it's just him being like, we gotta come back. We've been through adversity. It's like Hoosiers, but less specific. More vague Hoosiers.
And who... Oh, a widowed former basketball all-star lost... family foundation in a struggle with addiction and attempts to come back by becoming the coach of a disparate ethnically mixed high school basketball team at his alma mater.
Yeah.
Cool.
We've seen it before.
You've seen it 100 times. Yeah. You know what I mean? And just like his other movie he's trying to make, I think we've also seen it 100 times.
Right.
So like back in the summer of 18, that Daily Beast article came out that we covered on the show about the whole scheme to cheat the McDonald's Monopoly game.
Right.
And now... we have, and like, they launched a bidding war over that IP. Like, people are like, I want the rights to that story. Ben Affleck ended up top of that pile and ended up being like, okay, I have the rights to this. Now I can make the feature film. However, HBO had been working on their documentary, and McMillions has been coming out now, and everyone's talking about it now. So a lot of people are curious, like, man, this documentary is actually taking a lot of the thunder out of the, like, expectation for this story being told. Do you still want to make it? Ben Affleck, apparently it's called McScam right now at Ben Affleck's production company. It's the working title.
Great.
He says, we've gotten a new draft that's really good. Hollywood's a weird place because the person who was running the studio when they bought that script just left that job, and the studio that was going to make it just got bought by another studio. So there's these moments where things sort themselves out and you sort of see it as, is this still a priority? Are they really interested in different kinds of movies? And I'm not sure whether or not McScam, what kind of priority is, but we really like it and we're still developing the script. Not very confident based right. on that yeah. on that bit of a quote. And especially, have you watched any of it, McMillions?
I have not, but it seems like the Netflix one, people are like really
HBO.
Jizzing over.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's HBO?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Netflix. No, it's on HBO.
People are going crazy.
And they're jizzing over Special Agent Doug, who's like sort of the lead agent in it, because he's like really funny.
Right.
To the point where I'm like, I don't know who's going to play this guy. I don't know if the dramatized version of this, like, I need to see right away. Because this is definitely giving me the nourishment.
Man on a Wire became The Walk. Nobody saw The Walk because Man on a Wire was a great documentary. And, like, you
Man
were
on
watching
Wire.
Somebody, Man on Wire. Yeah.
Or, like, Firefest had those two.
Yeah, Firefest is probably going to have a feature. Mr. Rogers thing, I think, was kind of an example of that, where everyone went wild over a documentary, and then they were like, well, if you like that, then you're surely going to like Tom Hanks.
Right, but it's like, no, but I already know this one.
Right.
So either wait like 10 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I think you got beat to the punch.
Right.
Yeah.
But so it seems like they're just going to keep pushing.
According to him... I mean, you know, if Matt Damon, I think he wants Matt Damon to be in it too. But at the end of the day, I'm like, this documentary is so good. There's something compelling about the documentary because it's real life and we're talking to the real life participants.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know.
I just can't picture Ben Affleck as having been a pro basketball player. Is that right. what it's?
Yeah.
Yeah, in that like, movie, like, yeah, no. All former All-Star.
That's where I fell off. Like, nah.
Do you think right. there's a scene where, like, the kids on his team are like, Coach, man, you got no jumper.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, come on. Because, like, he's always, like, smoking cigarettes or something. And then yeah. what, he just starts, it gets wetty
starts
in the gym.
Balling. Yeah.
I feel like with celebrities like that, too, once you know, like, their persona becomes more distracting that you can't believe the character. Just
right.
like, yeah. you just look like you just got out of rehab.
Right.
Still, mm-hmm. you know, like.
When he signed on, they were like, okay, we need to give this guy an addiction background, too.
Yeah.
Right.
You just like, have ooh. That.
Right.
Or maybe he likes, face. Maybe he loves Jack in the Box.
Anyways, real quick, March movie preview, February review. Some movies that are coming out that seem like they will probably hit: A Quiet Place 2, Mulan, both seem like they'll probably be hits. The Hunt might be like an unexpected sleeper. That's the one that's about rich people hunting, you know, MAGA people.
Oh, yeah, 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 right. The movie that was so absurd they shelved and they're
right.
like, it's actually not that bad, guys. Just give it
right.
a chance.
And it's also not. As it's not like a straightforward thing where
it's just like, about the rich hunting.
Right. It's not like the rich are the protagonists. It's more.
No, because
movie.
That's our reality where right. the rich are hunting the poor.
Right.
Not a movie.
Brett, like I said, The Way Back is coming out. I don't think that's probably going to hit. Onward is a Pixar movie that is coming out, I
what,
think,
what?
This weekend. And it's like the least I've ever heard people excited about a Pixar movie. It's like a world where magic exists, where a troll goes on a journey in a van, and I don't know, it just seems
Caesar Sayoc?
Yeah. But
that's the MAGA van guy.
And then oh right.
Said a troll goes on a journey in a van. Sorry.
Hey.
I was just it's odd to me that for Pixar, like I know when a Disney film is coming or a Pixar yeah. film is coming out. I mean, I heard the words Onward, but I never connected that to being a Pixar film or something big.
Yeah. I feel like this, when it was first announced, there was also the movie about somebody dying and like the afterlife and a soul seemed like ghost-ish.
Oh, yeah. What the fuck was that? What, did that come out yet?
No, it hasn't come out yet. But I like confused them or like I saw the trailers on the same week and just like was like, well, that one looks better. So I'll worry about that one.
Ah.
And then just in terms of big hits in the past month that probably like entered the zeitgeist in some way or another, The Invisible Man was a hit last weekend. Sonic was a big hit. Seems like it kind of yet again another movie that's breaking the video game movie curse. And Birds of Prey, people are covering it as like a somewhat disappointing when compared to other comic book movies, but it's still like close to $100 million. Yeah.
Did you see Invisible Man?
No, I haven't seen it. We talked about it on Monday's episode because one of our writers went and saw it and said it was really good and very.
Ooh. Lacey saw it too and said it was unbelievable.
Really? It's really good.
She says she's the biggest Elizabeth Moss stan now.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And then the other thing to just keep an eye on in terms of movies coming out is that they're thinking about how to alter the release schedule because of coronavirus. They say coronavirus has already cut earnings in China by an estimated $215 million just already because nobody's going
out.
Think
about it. $215 million we were never going to get anyway. So fuck them.
Right. Exactly.
I just had my first like event got refunded yesterday. I was supposed to, I had tickets for something on like March 9th and just yesterday I got the email of like the event has been canceled. The person's not going to be flying from England. Like you're getting a full refund. And I was like, whoa, okay. So it's starting like, know, like.
I mean, this is a thing that was real in history. And, you know, like I remember reading about Sir Isaac Newton when he was like 9 years old, they had like 2 straight years where nobody went to school because of the plague. They were just so everybody's quarantined, just stay the fuck home. And he just like sat on his back and like figured out physics in his spare time.
So the next Sir Isaac Newton is on his way.
Right.
Or her way or their way.
Yeah. But that was a thing that happened in history. And now we're probably going to have to invent some new board games because we're all going to be spending a lot of time with each other.
Oh my God, it's not a weed. I have to talk about weed.
Yeah, you do. And
yeah, man. Medication, what do you think?
Rice, beans, cannabis.
Rice, beans, and weed, baby.
it's an epidemiologist yesterday on The Daily was talking about comparing it to, did you hear that? The Spanish flu, or it's projected to be 2% of the Earth's population. So that means if you know 300 people, six of them will
die or get it?
Get it? I think, okay. I'm not sure. But
I read like 40% of Americans this year are going to get it.
Yikes.
But that's, again, like all of these are based on assumption, on an assumption.
And
so
then
we still don't
have enough data really to understand fully what's going on or like how long these incubation periods are.
Right.
Woo!
Yeah. And the Scientific American thing I was reading, I feel like I'm referencing that like crazy, but it was talking about how we flatten the curve of it and that the RO of any virus is the number of infections that one person does. So right now, the RO of what's it called? COVID-19?
COVID-19, yeah.
It really sounds like a horror film.
Yeah. COVID-18 was way better, though.
That like so if it's an RO of like 2, that that means that one infected person will infect 2 people, and like based on the science of the way it's infecting right now. It looks like it what they're projecting is 2% of Earth's population.
Right. Yeah.
So just keep your hands to yourself. Don't touch your don't touch your face challenge. Can we do that on TikTok? Can we get that going rather than like the skull breaker challenge I read about today?
What's the skullbreaker?
Fucking two idiot kids. Like, I don't know what happened,
but these
two kids got, like, charged with, like, third-degree assault because, like, they were fucking – I don't know what happened. Essentially, some kid got, a bad head injury based off some shit called hashtag skullbreaker challenge, and apparently the shit was on some – the challenge was accepted.
Oh.
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Anyway, don't touch your face challenge.
Don't touch your – like, maybe for the first time we should really be promoting masturbation of, like, if you want to touch yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's no seriously like because touching your eyes, it doesn't go in through the eyes. Touching like other orifice, it's just nose and mouth. So touch, just rub
it's
the
just
shit
nose
out of
and
your
mouth.
Eyes.
I thought it was eyes. Too.
No, yeah, eyes. I think you can get other viruses through the eyes, but this one specifically goes in through the nose and mouth, according to that coronavirus expert. But
and that all of us will know someone with it.
Right.
And have you heard this thing about how it's about to die? It'll die off for summer and then it'll come back like a monster bomb in the fall.
Right.
Yeah. Have you heard that too?
Yeah. I have heard that.
In which case, I feel like Southern California is a little bit, for once, maybe advantageous to us that like the warm, because it hangs in cold air way better. And so maybe the heat helps us have less.
I think probably.
Even though it really is mostly touching surfaces.
Imagine how we'll have to make this show if we can't go anywhere.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You're going to have to call in from home.
We'll have to call in.
Yeah.
And we'll still make the show somehow.
We'll do it.
Somehow.
For you
some
guys.
Way. You know
for
what
you,
I mean?
If you're alive.
Yeah. If you're out there, Zeit Gang, let us know.
Yeah. We'll just be casting into it'll be like The Mist, that Stephen King novel where we don't know if anybody's still alive out there.
Let us know. Draw a tulip on your door. So we know.
Well, Holly, it's been a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist.
Hey, thanks so much, fellas. It was lovely to talk to you.
Yeah. Where can people find you, follow you, experience you?
My Instagram is Holly Laurent, and my podcast is Mega, where it's a fully improvised satire of characters who work at a fictional megachurch.
Mm.
Very, very fun. If you like kind of things in the flavor of like a Christopher Guest kind of vibe, it's sort of like that.
Yeah.
Very, very funny. We have a comedian on every single episode weekly, and they play a different character from the community of the megachurch, and it's very, very fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really fun. So Mega the podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah, and I know there are people who listen to the show where I start going down threads of old Christianity, like hymns, songs, whatever. So if you like that humor, I definitely recommend Mega. It's hilarious, especially
if you have a very specific voice.
Especially if you know anything about that
if
world.
If you grew up in a church.
Yeah, because, again, your propensity and your memory to just summon Bible verses like a teacher, it chilled my spine, and I'm like... Holly's either the greatest researcher of all time or she lived it.
Yeah.
Oh, I lived it. I speak the language. That's what makes me dangerous.
Oh my God, her eyes just started glowing red. Oh. Is there a tweet or some other work of social media, Instagram posts that you've been enjoying?
The last one I read about, I'm not on Twitter. I have a Twitter account, but it's mostly my husband uses it to promote our podcast. And I don't get on there because it's such a scary wasteland. It's, you know, for females or for any vulnerable people. It's just, it's like ruined so many lives. And like, you know, the Twitter troll that runs our country is like, I just can't even go into that. But the last one I read about in the news that I really liked, speaking of the Twitter troll that is in the White House, is how the president hated that Parasite won the Academy Awards because and the tweet that I read about that I really liked was that the parent company who made Parasite, they tweeted, we totally understand, you know, why he wouldn't like the movie because he can't read.
Right. Which is, I believe to be true.
Which a lot of our friends who work at SNL said that, like, before he was elected, when he was on there, that, like, when he came to table read and stuff, like, he could not read.
Yeah.
He couldn't read.
Yeah. I think he
can't even read.
Yeah.
What's he doing on prompter then? Does he have an earwig in or something?
I don't know.
Got contact?
I don't know.
Does he use prompters?
Clearly, because there's times where he's not doing his, like, jazz solos of just obscenities and bullshit, so.
Oh yeah, State of the Union. I just can't listen.
He has a great memory.
He's given like two speeches where he read off prompter.
It's usually the State of the Union.
Yeah,
he's the president.
But they all were every single, like, his speech writers have to have every single word has to be four letters or less.
Right.
It's quite a challenge. Yeah. To come up with a whole.
Wonder if they're all spelled phonetically or something.
100%.
Miles, where can people find you and what's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray, and also my other podcast, 420 Day Fiance, where we talk about 90 Day Fiance, high off that shit with me and Sophie Alexandra. Check the show out. You don't have to watch 90 Day Fiance to like this show. Trust us.
You might just like listening to Miles High.
Yeah. And actually, a lot of people do.
Elevated, I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people call it, write in and say, I actually don't watch the show, but it's so thorough, I don't need to. And it's just hilarious because you just like to talk that talk. Okay. Some tweets that I like. Actually, they're both from Reductress. First one is urgent. Cat covering eyes with paw while sleeping.
Oh.
If you like cats like I do, it's my favorite thing to see. And also, recently, Her Majesty, we took a detour along the way to get something to eat. She needed to get some kind of makeups and eyeliners. And this tweet reminded me of this, also from Reductress. I tried 30 different eyeliners, and they were all Sharpies. I don't even know what that means, but I like the construction.
I like that song Tilted, where she talks about doing her face up with magic marker.
There you go.
Or doing her makeup. I forget what it is. Some tweets I've been enjoying. Sophia Benoit tweeted, sure, me saying no to something I don't want to do. Hannah Rose Woods said, wow, it's crazy how diseases can also go viral. And Justin Rowan tweeted, there's a article, someone tweeted, Steph Curry has been determined in preparing to play on March 1st, but sides determined Friday that he will not return Sunday versus Wizards. And Justin Rowan tweeted, blew a 3-1 return date, because he blew the 3-1 series lead. Was mean. And then this one I very much identified with, Stay Free, tweeted, work ever kick your ass so bad you drive the speed limit home with no music playing? you can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be?
This is from Jungle, a band from England. This is off the album Forever. It's called Cause You're Mine, but it's one word, CoSURMYNE. See how they did that there? It's got like, it's a little bit different than their traditional like sort of funk band setup. There's like a really interesting sort of like piano loop sample in there, along with their nice falsetto vocals. But you know, check this out. You know, as you're getting your honey ready in your hips for the weekend. It's hump day, baby.
Hump day. Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for this morning. We'll be back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we will talk to you then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.